Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. A complex spy thriller set in Turkey may not be the typical backdrop for a first novel, but it seems to work for local author August Thomas. She's a former Fulbright scholar. She spent a lot of time in Turkey, and she's fluent in Turkish. The New York Post featured her book, titled Liar's Candle, on its list of must reads, and The Real Book Spy called it exciting, complex, and full of intrigue. August Thomas is with us now. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
So it's clear reading Liar's Candle that you spent a lot of time in Turkey. And so can you tell us why Turkey was the place that you decided to set your first novel?
It was a really natural choice for me because I'd been studying Turkish since I was 16, and it's such a Turkey is such a fascinating country and so misunderstood in the U.S. or just not thought of at all. So it just felt like a really natural fit. I'd also gotten to know some U.S. diplomats when I was living in Istanbul as a Fulbrighter. So I had this whole sense of this other world of intrigue below the surface.
Mm. So how? Describe how you think Turkey's misunderstood in the West, and what did you want to use a novel to clarify for people?
Well, I think one of the really powerful things about a novel, even a spy novel, is a chance to humanize people and show different layers of complexity in a society and in individuals, and all of the different factors that go into the choices that people make. I think for me, Liar's Candle was really an opportunity to show, to humanize Turkey, to get beyond some of the broader stereotypes about Muslims that exist, particularly about Muslim women or about who terrorists are, where they come from.
Why is a novel the best way to do that?
Well, I think that if I'd sat down and written a PhD dissertation or a nonfiction book, I would have had a chance to speak with a specialist audience, which is very important. But at the same time, the wonderful thing about a spy thriller is it's very approachable. It's fun. It's not asking very much of – it's something you can read on a beach or a train. And I think that's actually fantastic because it's a way that you can be reading at the beach, flipping through a spy thriller and learning about U.S. foreign policy and Turkish domestic politics and all of this stuff. It's a very pleasant delivery mechanism, I think.
Now, you said you spent some time with folks in diplomatic circles in Turkey as well. I'm wondering, did you have to do – you may have spent time in Turkey. You may have been fluent in Turkish. But what about the intelligence community and all the different agencies and the acronyms and how things work? I mean, how much research went into that and how much did you focus on getting that right, really, as if you were doing a PhD paper?
That's a fantastic question. I did a ton of research. A lot of what I knew about Turkey I didn't have to go digging for. But when it came to the intelligence community or diplomatic work, I researched it almost as if I were going to try to apply for a job. You know, I studied it. I read memoirs. I read interviews. I actually read a lot of academic research on the subject. And one thing that I loved is that actually the CIA publishes something called the Studies in Intelligence, which has all of these academic research papers about spy work and how it functions.
There you go. Did current events inspire any of this?
Well, when I was living in Turkey, so this is 5 years ago now, I happened to be there as this clueless 21-year-old in the middle of the Gezi Park protests, which was this enormous protest movement that started in Istanbul, where I was living, and just swept the entire country. So the experience of seeing that up close was certainly an inspiration in beginning the book. And I'd like to think that even though it's obviously the Turkish president in my book is fictional, the Secretary of State is fictional, it gives a gist of the kind of tensions that really do exist there.
Now, your protagonist in the book is also a clueless 21-year-old, if I can say that. Penny is a young female intern who gets, you know, thrown into this whole world of counterintelligence and has to get up to speed pretty quickly. Is Penny like you?
What I like to say is that what Penny and I have in common are our weaknesses. So it was very important to me to write an authentic feminist spy novel, which there aren't that many of. So one thing I wanted to do with Penny was, she's not me, but I wanted to have her have realistic flaws and be a smart and powerful young woman who also was not aware of the complexities of what she was stepping into.
You know, you started writing this when you were 23. Not long after you were clueless 21. So how
23 is much older, much older.
So how long did it take you to write it? And what's the writing process like for you?
Oh, well, the writing process for this was very fun because when I started Liar's Candle, I was on a writing fellowship in Scotland, reminiscing about my days in Turkey. And then in the midst of the writing process, I got to go back to Turkey and freshen up my awareness of how the country was changing, because it changes so quickly. It took me a couple years to write Liar's Candle. And then actually when it sold back in late 2016, I happened to be on this journey across Eastern Europe. So when it sold, I was within a couple hundred miles of the Turkish border in Eastern Bulgaria.
Wow. Now the title, Liar's Candle, is from the Turkish proverb, a liar's candle burns only until dark. Why does this idea intrigue you?
Well, I wanted to choose a title from a Turkish proverb because I wanted to convey that the book really does try to give a clear picture of Turkey. That proverb intrigued me because of the idea that the truth will always eventually come to light, even if it takes a very circuitous path.
In the acknowledgments of the book, you said that this book was for your mother, whom you say raised you to be a writer and showed you how to be brave. What did you mean by that?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked about that. My mother...
I'm a mom, so I'm a little biased. Okay.
My mom, my mother, Roseanne Darrell Thomas, is a writer. She's published 5 books, and she's brilliant, and she is also incredibly brave. She homes as a single mother, working as a novelist. She managed to homeschool me. And even though living on a single mom's budget, she managed to find ways for us to travel. She's the person who took me to Turkey for the first time when I was 16, which was just so brave because neither of us had ever been anywhere like that before. And that was largely her initiative. And she taught me that there's no book but a finished book, which is part of why Liar's Candle is a real book you can hold in your hand and not something in a Word document.
And I understand you're already working on a sequel.
I am. I was in Budapest earlier this year for a little research.
Still Penny?
Still Penny.
Still Penny, but a little...
less clueless.
A little older, a little wiser. All right.
Yes.
All right. Author August Thomas, whose spy thriller Liar's Candle is available in bookstores. August, thanks so much for talking with us today.
Thank you.
And that's it for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Deborah Becker, and this is Radio Boston.